This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
What are the odds that we would be 1 hour and 2 minutes into this show and we have had multiple mentions of egg custard pie and hibachi chefs? Where else can you get that on a Friday morning show? I mean, even the Today Show, that's got a real budget and real stars and talent. They don't have no steak and egg custard or hibachi chefs. That's what we got.
They don't have hibachi. Well, they have a hibachi chef. They probably get a hibachi chef from time to time.
Man, that sounds pretty good, too. I got to be honest with you. Saying. All right, let's get to business here. Greatest of all times, West Durham, on your campus, we speak. We're talking about high cotton here. We're talking about top shelf.
All right. We're watching Valerie Cagle, a year and change into Clemson's softball existence, set an incredibly high bar, okay?
Yeah.
So from this standpoint, you can say, well, Valerie Cagle is – as good as it's been in Clemson softball. Well, what's the body of work? 18 months. Okay, well then, okay, hang on. So you see where she is out of the gate and you start thinking to yourself, okay, now John Rittman's done an unbelievable job building this program, first of all. But Pack, it's only a year and a half. Now, I'm not diminishing anything she's done because she's fantastic. But the program is 18 months old-ish in terms of its competitive level.
Yeah, but I think what she's doing, though, is she is creating a bar in which for years and decades to come, I think will become a standard. And that's what she's doing. So I'm with you when you start saying, hey, greatest of all time. There's got to be a little bit of some legacy, some history, some tradition. And Clemson's brand spanking new in this department, but she really is. I said this the other day to you. I'm not so sure she's not the biggest star currently on campus. And that includes a football program that's been ranked number one, two, or three, it seems like, for the last decade. And they will have some dudes on it this fall. But Valerie Cagle is must-watch television if the Tigers are on. I'm telling you, she is.
Okay.
Whether she's pitching or hitting, it doesn't matter.
All right. Now, you may say, well, wait a second. You guys are jumping the gun here a little bit. Are we? Because she's one of 10 finalists now for USA Softball's Collegiate Player of the Year. She's the only finalist from the ACC. And she's a freshman playing for a team that's not 2 years old and one of the best players in the entire sport. So we may not be jumping the gun a little bit. If you're a finalist for the USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year, I think you're doing pretty well. And, oh, by the way, the only player from the ACC. The finalists, by the way, other finalists, two grad students, four seniors, two juniors. There is one additional freshman in the lineup with Cagle. So, all right, begs the question. Right now, Pack, through the ACC, or even at your particular school, do you have somebody right now on campus playing at Carolina or at NC State, Virginia, wherever, that's the best to ever play that sport at that school? Now, we think we can say that Aaron Mattson might be the best field hockey player ever at Carolina.
Yep.
Yep. Now, that's pretty fair, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, listen, if there's somebody ranked above her, I would certainly like to see the numbers. But Aaron Mattson, every single
That right there is crazy.
She's getting it done now. And it's true whether she's scoring, defending, or let's go get some frozen yogurt and do the deal. I mean, she's great. She's just absolutely a great player, tremendous student athlete, fun to talk to, great teammate. I mean, she's the entire total package here in Mattson.
Yep. And Karen Shelton, obviously a Hall of Fame coach. Aaron Mattson, three-time ACC Player of the Year, two-time first-team All-America. Carolina is 63-1 since she arrived on campus. Okay, Tar Heels potentially in women's lacrosse. Jamie Ortega and Katie Hogue. Okay, how do you pick one? Jenny Levy said in a quote recently, they're just a tandem that'll go down in lacrosse history as great. They can score and feed in so many different ways. It's not something that's scripted. They're reading what defenses are giving them, and when you play against that defensively, it's very difficult to defend. And there are a bunch of people who would agree with that.
I thought Jenny Levy, when she was with us this week, and I think I asked her the question, are you a better offensive team or a defensive team? And it almost stunned her because she said, you know, I really can't answer that because we're really good in both. And basically, it's the answer to the question, and they are.
Right.
And so that's why when you give you – and when we give you the combination of Jamie and Katie there as the ultimate tandem, you can best believe. Now, what you may not agree that that's the answer – but if you disagree, I want to see what your answer is, because that is a just, I mean, they're filthy. They're, and I mean that in a positive sense. Their combination on both ends, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, choose a poison.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's good luck, because they're going to get
exactly right.
They're going to get you. That's just the way it works. But that combination with Aaron Mattson and also with the field hockey and also the women's lacrosse. North Carolina, and again, I know football and basketball gets all the love and the attention, but these Olympic sports that we talk about nonstop here for the last couple months, man, you better enjoy it. You better embrace it, because it really is special what's taking place right now in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and the other aspect about this is we're talking, obviously, the Carolina thing here with the spring sports and women's field hockey and women's lacrosse comes to mind, softball and what Valerie Cagle's done at Clemson. I mean, we look at some of the more marquee sports. I mean, you know, like in football right now, would you say Sam Howell qualifies Pack after 2 years to be potentially? Yeah. I mean, now if he's – the Carolinas had contenders for the Heisman Trophy. Charlie Justice was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy in the 40s, right? But if Sam Howell has a big year and he's a finalist for the Heisman Trophy and rewrites all the records and – does all this stuff for career or single game or single season, is it possible? Sure, it's possible. But right now, would there be a discussion? I don't know now. I mean, Carolina's had some great football players. You know that and I know that. But is he the best they've ever had? I think the jury's still out on that, just like it is with other sports at other schools. I mean, Louisville has great baseball, but – I would tend to lean to Brendan McKay, who a couple of years ago was one of the best two-way players in college baseball. But that's just me in a 6-7 year window of watching Louisville athletics and Louisville baseball in particular. Well, so there's where the discussion, I think, can get a little skewed.
Getting back to Sam Howell, I think if you want to get into an argument with quarterbacks at North Carolina, have at it, right? Because Sam's putting up crazy numbers. Football players as a whole, in general, I don't know if I'd go there yet. I mean, you know what? He hasn't won an ACC title, hasn't played for an ACC title. I mean, there's a lot of things I think you have to have boxes checked when you start saying, hey, listen, he's the best we've ever had here. When you make comments like that, or she's the greatest of all time here, when you make those kind of statements, almost every box needs to be checked, in my opinion. I mean, you're making an incredible, broad-based comment regarding whatever the sport, gender, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if I'd go there with Sam Howell at North Carolina. In my opinion, I think could he by the time he's done, possibly North Carolina wins an ACC football title and goes to college football playoff and he wins the Heisman. Hey, you can go there and start saying, all right, who matches that?
You can have that discussion.
Nobody, right? The answer is nobody. So that changes the landscape. The good news is with Sam Howell, it's still a work in progress. He has not reached the finish line. So you can sit there and put somebody on the pedestal. Let me tell you something. You're gonna laugh at me. But coming up at the bottom of this hour, Jacob Bridgman is going to join us from Clemson for golf,
right?
Men's golf. Could you make the case?
Yeah,
he is the best golfer ever at Clemson.
All right,
I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm going to ask you. You know this as well as I do, and I've only really kind of followed it since the mid '90s. And I know Chris Patton was there before that, who was, what, U.S. amateur champ, competed in the Masters.
Right. Lucas Glover,
tremendous player.
Jonathan Berg, tremendous player. Yeah.
Right. But Jacob Bridgman leads the nation in stroke average. He is 6 top 10 finishes in 7 events this year. He shot 64, 65, 2. I mean, look.
Just saying.
But then, see, you get to the other discussion of, didn't Clemson have a 3- or 4-time All-American in golf, too, before these guys used to, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they've had guys that were – Lucas Glover was three or four times.
When you make these kind of statements, you better do your homework because, you know, like I said, you better have a lot of boxes checked when you start saying, hey, listen, currently on our campus right now, you're going to go find the greatest fill in the blank that's ever played here. I don't care the gender. I don't care the sport.
Right.
But I do think there's a couple candidates right now currently doing their thing. I mean, Keely Richard at Virginia Tech. I'm just asking. I'm not making the claim and, you know, putting the stake in the ground here. But Keely Richard's doing stuff with women's softball at Virginia Tech where, hey, you want a no-hitter? Well, guess what? She's pitching today, and that's a possibility, right? Keely Richard liable to strike out 18, and you don't even sniff first base. Just saying. So we've got some special individuals, obviously some great teams. But it lends itself to a fun conversation.
It does. And you can hashtag us Packer and Durham on social media, 844-SAY-ACCN. You can call us. We got a spot here. We might be able to take one or two along the way this morning. But think about it. Do you have a player, a student athlete on your campus right now that's the greatest ever in a particular sport?
You know, I think we could probably go wrestling too, Wes. There could be some individuals that we could put on this list in the wrestling department because the conference right now is reaching a pinnacle in terms of the money being spent, programs that are being developed. We have had consistently five teams ranked last year. What you've seen at NC State, and I could go through a couple names there, what you've seen at Virginia Tech, what Pitt's got going on. Virginia's giving you some highs and lows, too, from that perspective. There's some storylines. North Carolina has a national champion this year. Just saying. I think that you could probably make the case in some of these Olympic sports that this year you have seen individuals who are the truly best the school has ever seen. That's a strong statement.
There you go. All right, sit tight. Deanna Ordonez of Virginia had a hat trick the other night for the Cavaliers, moving them along into the Elite Eight in women's soccer. We're looking forward to visiting with her next. We go back to the bubble in metropolitan Cary, North Carolina, on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Jay Vidovich joined us in hour number one, the Pitt men's soccer team head coach. They move on. And everybody and their brother is moving on the ladies' side. Five teams are in the tournament. Five are still alive. That includes the University of Virginia, who will be taking on TCU next. And with that said, Deanna Ordonez joins us next, makes her debut on the show. Deanna, first of all, appreciate you getting up with us. Congratulations. Still alive, still kicking. Just like you liked it, right? Virginia got a shot. That's all you asked for.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for having me.
Pleasure. And by the way, you got to showcase the sweatshirt because we were bragging about.
Come on now.
Yeah, that's nice now. Who's? Love it.
Who's? I'm telling you. So, Deanna, a hat trick the other night against Rice. You guys made it look real easy, but I know this is still the national tournament. I mean, but yet when you go and put a performance like that together, what's it do from a confidence standpoint for you and for your team?
I think coming in unseeded, we definitely wanted to make a statement and just show that even though there's not a number next to our name, we still belong in the Elite Eight. And I think we're able to do that, obviously winning convincingly in the Sweet 16.
You know, we've been bragging about soccer in this league, whether we're talking about the men's teams, the women's teams, all season long. It really shouldn't be a surprise that we've got eight teams left and five are from the ACC, right? I mean, I'm sure as a player, you're like, well, hey, we see this all the time. It's kind of business as usual.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it just shows how competitive our conference is. And I think it just speaks to the type of teams that we are. And honestly, the more the merrier. I mean, I think we could be looking at a Final Four of just ACC teams, which would be really cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be unbelievable. If this season could be capsuled, if you were to describe this whole deal from like last summer to now, What would you tell us about this year? What's it been like?
It's been long. I think we've had to overcome a lot. And I think part of how different it's been and how much we've had to just come together and just go through all of this together as a team, I think has bode well for us. And I think we've come out stronger because of it. There's definitely been some hard times, but I think we're doing a good job managing. And at this point, we can just kind of see through that we're almost at the end. So we're just working really hard still.
Deanna, is there such a thing as momentum in soccer from one game to the next? Or hey, it you know, what happened on Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Today's a new day. How does that work in women's soccer?
I think it's kind of both of what you're saying. I think momentum does build up because I would say from game to game in this tournament, we've gotten better. Every single game, the last three, we've gotten better in each one. But at the same time, what was it? SIUE was that game, BYU was that game, and then same with Rice. We had success, but we need to take that confidence that we've built and move forward with it. However, those games are done with, and we need to focus on our next opponent.
You mentioned the progress in the tournament, your progress individually. I mean, I know you came to Charlottesville as the player of the year in the state of Texas. It's kind of been an evolution for you now as a sophomore, second team all ACC, then tournament, now red hot here in the NCAAs. The development for you individually, what's that been like?
It's been incredible. That's one of the reasons I chose UVA. I saw Taryn Torres. We played on the same club team, and she took a leap coming out here, and I did not think I was ready to do the same. But just seeing how much better she got was really inspiring to me, and I knew that I wanted that for myself, just somewhere that I know that no matter what, whether I was on the field or not, the coaches were going to focus on every player and develop us to be ready for whatever we want to do next.
So what's up with this Texas thing? You know, you get rid of Rice, you know, coming up next is TCU. I know A&M's still alive and kicking. Hopefully North Carolina puts an end to
and
that
you're
dream.
You're from Texas.
I know, and you're from Texas. I mean, so what's going on here?
I don't know. I mean, I love home, but we got to make it.
Yeah, Texas is coming to Carolina is what it looks like to me. It's just like if you can find some good brisket in the Raleigh area, you just call this home, right? I mean, be like home, like the good old days.
Yeah, for sure.
Does that give you any added incentive given what home sweet home and you're taking on all these teams from Texas? I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a chuckle and a kind of a grin, right? Isn't it? Got to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I did visit TCU, so I'm pretty close with the coaches and they've been really great. Not necessarily keeping in contact, but one of them I knew all growing up. So I think it's fun. Mm. It's exciting. Get to play people that you know. And I mean, I think we have respect for them. They respect us. So I think it's just going to be a good matchup.
All right, Deanna, how are you guys killing time in the bubble? I mean, you've been there, you know, what, a week now and change, I guess. I mean, you practice. I get that part. You guys have meals, I'm guessing, together. There is some modicum of testing that's going on. So what else are you doing? Because during the basketball tournament and even, you know, things like that, we heard it was kind of a boring situation. They go across the street to some minor league baseball park and play kickball. What are you guys doing?
We are in the middle of finals, so not much. I know a lot of the girls have had to miss meals and just even some have had to go out and practice later because we're just – in the middle of finals, taking tests, writing papers. So it's been pretty stressful, but I think everybody's doing a pretty good job of managing that.
I would think, Deanna, in some respects, that might be good in the fact that you can be so – you can eat up so much time doing what you're supposed to do. And, of course, that is getting an incredible degree from Virginia. And, oh, by the way, to get away from all that headache and pressure, we can go play some soccer and just kind of let off the steam a little bit and go do something else you love to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think being in the bubble almost helps because there's no distraction. I mean, you're in your room some have roommates, and you can just sit down and get your work done. And everyone's in the same situation as you. Mm. Everyone's in finals. Everyone's trying to get their stuff done. So I think it's just having that like-mindedness around the team, that we're not distracted and we can just focus on our work. And then when it comes game time, we're also ready to focus on that together.
So really there's not any going to hang out and watch other teams play along the way, I guess. Coaches tell us they do a little bit of that, but for you guys, it's because of the books, it's a little more difficult, I guess.
Yeah, we haven't been able to go to the field and see any other games. But I mean, sometimes we do get to watching them online when the stream is good enough.
Well, here's the deal. Florida State, in case you don't know, Deanna, I think you do, though. Florida State and Duke are playing in one matchup. You've seen Clemson. They got Santa Clara. And you know about A&M. They got North Carolina. So with all these ACC teams in it, quite frankly, you don't need to go see them because you've been watching them all year. You've been playing them all year.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate scouting report. It's, hey, we play in the ACC. Yeah, we know that everybody left in the tournament is from our conference. So that kind of eliminates a whole lot of nonsense from that standpoint. All right, before we let you go, one of our traditional questions are for every student athlete, and this is probably very apropos given what you're going through with finals. Since you've been at the University of Virginia, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class has probably been any environmental science class. They're supposed to be some of the easiest at UVA, and people will encourage you to take them so that you can just get the A and keep it pushing. But I wouldn't recommend trying to pick up science as a subject if you're already not good at it. It's not as easy as they say.
So environmental science, huh? You thought you were going to get that layup class. Next thing you know, like, what am I doing? Is somebody played a terrible joke on me, right? You figured somebody just pulled a fast one on you. Yeah, that's classic.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, listen, continued success. Again, best of luck in your grades and your studies, which is certainly the most important thing. But, man, your soccer's been great, too. It's a great combination.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care. Deanna Ordonez of Virginia, hat trick to beat Rice. They advanced to meet TCU. By the way, second hat trick for Deanna during the course of the year. Had one earlier this season against Louisville Pack. So one of the top scorers, certainly in the tournament, and one of the best scorers in the ACC, just a sophomore from Prosper, Texas. When we come back, we're going to tee it up and let it rip with Jacob Bridgman. 64. Some of us have 64, and then we play the back, Pack. Yeah, some of us have 64 for 18. Yeah. We'll check in with Jacob next. Packer and Durham rolls on halfway home on a Friday.
Packer and Durham. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday.
This ought to be good. This ought to be good.
Our next guest.
I mean, this ought to be good.
We just talked about maybe the greatest on campus that you've ever seen in respective sport. I'm just saying, Jacob Bridgman is putting up numbers for men's golf at Clemson that you would sit there and take whatever era you want in Tiger Town and go, how does it match up with a 69 point whatever? I mean, the dude goes low every time he tees it up. This guy is a player.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Player. Let's bring him on.
We'll bring Jacob on here. Jacob, good morning. How are you, my man?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We are good.
We're good. Real quick, Pack, at what point in Jacob's career did he pass your career stroke average?
When he was walking to the first tee. When he was walking to the first tee. Not when he teed it up and made the turn. When he walked, he said, we know, where's the first tall? Great. First tee. Okay. What's the course record? Okay, cool. Great. Get out of my way. Let's go. That's when he passed my record. That's when he said, Mark Packer, rear
the first swing. The first swing.
Over.
Yeah,
game,
first swing.
Set,
got it.
Match.
Okay.
All she wrote.
Oh, man. Jacob, here's the deal. You lead the nation in stroke average, okay? So there's some frustrated golfers connected to this program. There's some non-golfers like Mark connected to this program who once actually played at a competitive level. So I just want to know the zone where we're shooting 64. I just want to know what that feels like when you reach that zen of 64 in golf.
I'd say very rarely do you actually get in what you're thinking about, like that kind of zone. Normally it kind of sneaks up on you. Like you're just kind of playing a normal round where you think it could be a 3-4 under, and then next thing you know, three birdies later, you're seven. And you're like, well, I can shoot 7, 8, 9 under. But it never really know where you're at. It just kind of sneaks up on me, at least.
I got to go back to the ACC Championship match play, which, again, a little different animal than stroke play. But there was a point in time in your match against Florida State, and Florida State's great. I mean, you know, you guys are ranked 2 and 3 in the country, whatever the numbers are. But we're talking about elite, elite teams. And it's five guys against five guys. But there was a point in time in that afternoon, late morning, really, where you guys are getting taken to the woodshed, right? I mean, where you're sitting around going, man, nothing looks good here. This, you know, guys are down. I'm down one. He's down three, whatever the case may be. All right, we've lost two matches. We know we got to run the table. At what point in time did you get a sense, whether it be something from the head coach, Larry Penley, or something deep down, you said, listen, I got to make something happen, right? I know it's an individual match, but it's a team game. So, and as far as that ACC championship goes, Jacob, at what point in time did you get a sense of, hey, we could turn this thing around and win the ACC title?
Yeah, I watched Turk lose on hole 13, and then I heard from their coach that Colby was 3 down with 3 to play. So I figured pretty much, I was like, well, if we, I knew I was counting Kyle behind me as winning because he was winning. I was like, well, we gotta flip these other two because I was 2 down. Zach was 1 or 2 down. And then I birdied 12. And I kind of figured if I could – I liked my chances coming in because I hit a little further than John and the holes were long. So I was counting my matches winning, and I was like, well, let's just watch Zach. And I'm a big scoreboard watcher. So I was checking my phone and watching Zach the whole time to see what he was doing. And then when he squared it up and then he went to extra holes, then I started getting really nervous. I wasn't nervous the whole day until I started watching Zach. Mm. But
if you had to tell us about Wes,
hold on a second. Okay. I want to follow up on something. Just so we know the time period, when Zach three putted 18, right? Because you got to figure, hey, you know, like two putts wins the hole, wins the match. It sets everything up. Was that, were you behind that? Did you know that it happened when you were still playing John Beck?
I was on 17 green, and I was watching John putt, and I watched Zach Mitt three putt at the same time.
Oh, boy. Right. And you had to be going, oh, for crying out loud. We've worked this hard to get this close. I mean, just two putt, win the match. I'll go take the pack out of here. And again, Pack's number one rated player in the country. So, I mean, this was a great match. That you were having, again, you two are as good as it gets in college golf, and yet everything had to fall in place just right to win the ACC title, and it did.
It really did. It really did. I mean, I had to step up after watching Zach three-putt and make like a 7-footer to tie, but it really did line up perfectly. I won the 18th hole and then sprinted out to Zach, saw him on one. He played some unbelievable golf coming in, but it really did line up perfectly. It was not looking good for us on midway through the back nine, and then we just somehow flipped it all.
Jacob, you're one of the few guys that, obviously as successful as you are playing, that I have heard talk about the team game as much as within the individual game. I'm always, and Mark, I'm sure will tell you, I always get into the concept here of this is a team sport but an individual nature. So here you are watching all this happen. You're watching John Pack, who's, you know, one of the best college players in the country. You guys are having a heck of a match. Zach's on the 18th hole three putting, and you're trying to balance both what your match is and what the team game is. How do you grab that? How does that process for you during the match?
I mean, I'm never really worried about myself. I've always counted, I don't know, I wouldn't say I've always counted my wins, but when I'm in match play, it is a team atmosphere. I'm not really worried about what I'm doing because I feel like in my head that I'm always going to pull through, and I've always been a scoreboard watcher. So I love watching what everyone else is doing. And then when it's a team, it makes me even more crazy about that because what they do is affecting me. So, I mean, it's not really a balance thing because I can't do anything about it, but it definitely creates some excitement in me watching all the other scores.
Jacob, when my man Larry Penley said, hey, you know what? This is going to be it. 38 years, I'm done. And again, I don't know what a golf coach does to retire. Does he go play golf? I don't know how that works, but Larry, you have to figure that out. But did that offer any kind of incentive to you guys that, hey, you know, the old win one for the Gipper routine? Let's win one for the old man and get out of here. Because you guys have been on a ridiculous run this spring.
I think we kind of saw that, what was it, 82 number we had to get to when we were at 79. And that was kind of a little motivating factor for us. We wanted to get him on top before we sent him out, and we just knew it was our last season with him, and we may as well make the best of it. And we have a really, really good team this year. So, I mean, I don't think we really did it, you know, just because he's leaving, because we could have done it all along. But this year we were just incredibly good, and it's kind of, I guess, it's just really good that he's going out on such a good team.
All right, now you go to Nashville, play the Golf Club of Tennessee. You guys are the top seed. Take me through what the NCAA tournament is like, and what do you envision this process being like for a team that's played as well as you guys have really all year?
I mean, this next step, regional, is just a qualifier. I mean, it doesn't matter if you finish first or fifth. You just got to get through. Finish in the top five and go to the NCAAs. That's pretty much all you can do. And then once we get to NCAAs, that's the ultimate thing we've been working for towards all year. So you got four rounds of stroke play, try to get in the top eight. I mean, we're going to play our game the whole time. And I think if we all play consistently and don't really worry about, letting the course beat us, then we should finish in the top eight. We're that good of a team. So I'm not really worried about us struggling. I'm thinking if we can just finish in the top five, finish in the top eight, and get into match play, we're in the same situation as ACCs where, you know, anything can happen, honestly.
Jacob, as far as stroke play versus match play, I mean, as good as you are, every time I teed up, I'm going low. I get the mindset. But what do you like better? What's a better test as far as determining a champion? Stroke play, match play?
I'm going to lean towards stroke play just because in match play, it's one versus one. That's, you're really only worried about the other person. And stroke play, there's so many other factors. You're playing the course. You're playing 90 to 150 different guys on any given day. I think stroke's got to be the more comparative thing, just because in match play, like I beat Ben Shipp and I beat John Pack, and you could say, oh, well, he beat both of those guys. But on any given day, one of the other 90 guys in the field could have smoked me. So I just think match play doesn't really give you as much of a comparison to other players as stroke play does.
Yeah. Well, it's a, I tell you what, they could play match play, stroke play. I don't know. He'd be playing
putt,
some kind of Nassar, whatever. You're going to be fine. You got the game, man. You can play whatever you need to play. You'll be fine. Ryder, Stableford, it doesn't matter. You're going to be fine. I know you guys are excited about this. What's this year been like, though, Jacob? I was as disappointed, I'm sure, not as much as you guys were. There really wasn't any kind of fall schedule. I wish there would have been, because we've seen the productivity it's created in like soccer, volleyball, lacrosse, things like that, or field hockey in particular. What does it mean to just have this one little boxed up schedule this year as a college golfer?
I mean, it was just disappointing for us in the fall, not being able to play. And it made it even worse that SEC was playing. I think Big 12 was playing too. And we were just sitting down practicing every day with nothing to really play for. So the morale was low in all of us, just because all there was to do was school, which we've never really had to experience. So just doing school every day and then practicing with no really ultimate prize, it really sucked. But then once Christmas break hit and we got back, then we realized that we were going to play. And then everybody kicked into overdrive and we took off. And everyone was super excited, and even more excited than we are in the beginning of school when we first come back to school and see everybody. So it was really cool to see how excited everyone was, how pumped they were to get back playing. And then we just took right off, and you've kind of seen it with the way we've played. We've been really ready this semester.
Palmer Cup, what's that mean to you?
That's a big deal. I'm excited for that. I mean, anything when you can represent your country on a team level, it's really cool. It's a different feeling. I've told my coach that before. The most nervous or most pumped I've ever been was when I played the Junior Presidents Cup and I was playing, coming down the last hole, and you look up on the back of the green and there's 100 people with either United States stuff or international stuff. And that's what really gets you going.
One last question for me. Now, I am really curious to hear what your answer is to this. Since you've been at Clemson University, what has been your hardest class?
My first class of my freshman year was, I started as a mathematics major. And my first class was on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was Calc 3. Mm-hmm. And my professor was not my favorite guy ever. So we'll just leave it at that. But it was a really tough one with all my traveling. I think I played 6 tournaments my first semester, missed a lot of class. That was my hardest one. Calc 3 did not go well.
He didn't particularly care about your 68s and 66s, did he? It was one of those, hey, you better have higher test grades than your golf scores, right? He was giving you the business.
He didn't really care when I missed a test either. So when I missed one, finally our athletic department had to get involved to let me make it up. So he... He was not a fan of athletes at all.
Well, listen, nice. Dude, you are golfing your ball, my man. We wish you the best in the regionals and beyond, because you can flat out play. And congratulations to you, Larry, and all the guys, man. Couldn't be happier for you.
I appreciate it, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Well, hopefully we can keep it going through play.
You got it. Look forward to it.
Yep. Jacob Bridgman from Clemson, one of the best players in the ACC for sure, one of the best players in the country, and guy who he can golf it now. There is no doubt about that.
He's ranked number three. He's
when we come back,
a guy nationally in golf week, just to put things in perspective. I mean, between John Pack and that guy right there, we got two in this league, and they're not the only two. They can go low, and I mean low, on the golf course. They are great players.
Jacob Bridgman goes low, Dax Holyfield goes hard. In case you missed our visit with the Virginia Tech linebacker yesterday, the winner of the Hokie Hard Hat Award for the Spring Strength and Conditioning will join us next. You see what kind of visit that was, Pack? Locked in even before we started. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Friday's show continues. Mystery guest will appear at 9:30. Just like that lemon square right there from Miss Jean. I tell you what, Miss Jean is going to be working hard before she leaves Georgia, coming back to North Carolina. Billy Graham Parkway, exit 33, the rendezvous spot. That's where it all happens, right there in the Cracker Barrel.
Nope. That's not happening.
Taylor knows where it is. All right, mystery guest will join us around 9:30 this morning, and it'll be a good one. It will be a good one. Just telling you.
Just like this, in case you missed it from yesterday, Shelby, North Carolina native Dax Holyfield was with us. Okay, we got into a lot of stuff, and you need to pay attention because you are officially on the clock right now with Dax. We started by saying, what's this whole offseason been like compared to a year ago?
it was a lot. It was tough. I mean, I love the springtime. It's time to relax, work hard in the weight room. Spring ball is a lot of fun. It's time to polish up some things, and we didn't get that last year. We finally got it this year, and I can tell it made a big difference. We hit the weight room really, really hard as a team. We're really, really strong. They did a great job as a strength staff, and the coaches as well. They did a great job during spring ball to get everything polished up from last year as well. So,
all right, but let's be honest. According to the coaches and everybody else, you must have done the best job in the weight room and in the strength program because you got the hard hat award as the top performer. What does that mean to you, especially as an older guy in the program?
I've been wanting that since I got here. That's been one of my main goals. My best friend Jared Hewitt, he won it the year before, so that meant a lot to me to get it this year. But I take pride in how I perform in the weight room, and it means a lot that over this whole semester that I come out on top. And it's a pretty cool thing. We take it pretty seriously here. We actually get to decide our jersey numbers on what place you come in hard hat. So it's pretty good incentive for you to really hit the weight room hard and being a great leader and a great teammate as well. So,
All right, Dax. Now I'm going to guess we get a hard hat. What else comes along with, you mentioned the jerseys. So what else comes along with winning the hard hat?
Well, if you're you're the top dog, you get a pretty cool trophy. It's a Hokie bird. It's pretty jacked. It's really, really cool. And you get one of them really nice, cut off hoodies. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really nice.
Look at
that. I'm putting that on my mantle. I'm putting that on my mantle tonight.
Let me ask you about next year. You guys seemingly kind of kept fighting the barriers last year. If it wasn't the COVID that sidetracked so many programs, I mean, Roddy, you and I were in conversations during the course of the year. Dax, we had you guys at Louisville. It looked like things were turning. Then I know there was frustration at the end. But you did win the Virginia game. Take me through the highs and lows of last year and how you impact that with what you're going to see on the field this fall.
I mean, coming into – we had obviously a new defense coordinator after Buff Foster retired. It was pretty hard coming into a season without even knowing the scheme, getting spring ball with the coaches. That's a pretty hard thing. So it took us probably a couple, 5 or 6 games to get the defense down. But once we got to that point, I really felt like we started clicking. We had a lot of injuries at the quarterback position, not much consistency there. But at the end of the year, Braxton Burmeister really stepped up, and he played really well at a high level at the last couple of games, especially Virginia game. And that game turned the tide for our team and led us into having a great offseason that we're doing right now. The spring was phenomenal, in my opinion. We worked really hard, and we're just going to kill in the summer and show everybody what we got this fall.
Well, Dax, we talked a little bit about the number earlier, and you get to decide your number after mm-hmm. winning the Hard Hat Award. But you've also worn the number 25, which becomes special for you guys since Frank mm-hmm. Beamer's retirement. You get a different guy every week wearing it. What's that honor like, being able to wear that jersey on the field for you guys?
It's special teams is a big part of our program. We take a lot of pride in it. A lot of the younger guys, they get their first snaps ever. I mean, probably the first season through special teams, and that was me. That's how I made the bus my first couple games, and I take a lot of pride in it. Not many teams in the country go over special teams as much as we do, and to be honored with number 25 for Frank Beamer, who was a special teams guy, it means a lot. It's pretty cool, and all the spotlight's on you. And a lot of times, you end up making a lot of plays just because you're wearing number 25, I've noticed. So it's pretty cool.
It is amazing kind of the vibe that jersey has given off in the last few years, for sure. All right, Dax, we've done a lot of good work here in your appearance, and I want to commend you for this. But we have to also ask you, because this is your first appearance, right? I mean, it's your first appearance on our show. Okay. Well, we got to get the Packer and Durham question, right, Roddy? I mean, when Pack's here, I have to ask this question in his absence. So here it is. And you know it's coming if you watch the show. And you're a veteran now. I mean, you've been there a long time. So what's the hardest class you've had at Virginia Tech?
Oh, man. I'm right now. I'm in the second part of anatomy and physiology, and that's I'm not gonna lie. It'll get you. I'm actually a nutrition and exercise science major, so anatomy and physiology here. It's a lot of work. That's probably my toughest class. Don't take it during the season. I'll tell you right now. Don't take it during the season.
I tend to agree with him. And here's the other thing. Justin Fuente. We'll talk to Coach a second real quick. We got to get Coach on the show, right? Now, I got a handwritten note from Justin Fuente. It's up here on my thank you board that I've created since Wes has been with me back. We haven't done a show together in 14 months. We got to get – so you can't quite see. You can sit there on the corner. It's right above the Bojangles biscuit pillow and the NC State singlet. Then you see a TV camera right above it. That's the thank you board note. I must have 35 thank you notes up there. One includes Justin Fuente. We've got to get Justin Fuente on the show. I mean, it's great getting Dax on here. Got the hard hat and all. But we got to get Coach on here. I'm ready for Justin Fuente's debut on the show.
Dax is sending you the hard hat.
Excellent.
You heard that part, right?
Yep.
In exchange for you, when his eligibility is complete, buying his lunch at Bridges.
Done. It's a layup. I'll tell you what. I'll do for Dax. I'll take him to Bridges. We'll swallow whole. We'll gas up the Ford F-150. We'll drive up to Lexington, and we'll do lunch at Bridges and dinner at Lexington Barbecue. We'll just do a whole North Carolina barbecue deal.
Geez.
It's on me with Dax.
Yeah.
And if he wants to bring Coach down with us, we'll put Fuente in the back seat with the dogs. Well, he'll be back here with Fuller.
Yeah.
Dax will have to fight Chester for the shotgun. Yeah. But we got to get Fuente
Chester
on the
show. Chester for the front, yeah.
We got to get Fuente on the show. I'm ready for Justin Fuente's debut.
We are. And Dax was fantastic. We appreciate his time yesterday. Power Hour is next. We got a little business to tend to here in Georgia. They've gone name, image, and likeness. Governor Brian Kemp signed it at his alma mater yesterday in Athens. And so we got that. And we got a special guest, 9:30, coming up. Packer and Durham rolls on a Friday on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.